Patriots.
Get ready for an all-new Hardline segment. It's time to step into the Snake Pit.
All right.
And now, with something completely over the top.
It's me.
The host and star of the Snake Pit.
So, the other day, I do not remember how it got brought up, but somebody mentioned cafeterias. Not school cafeterias,
well,
but
we were talking about the best Wyatt in Dallas history.
That's right.
Brought up Wyatt's cafeteria.
The Hardline. The other day we were talking about cafeterias.
So Wyatt's cafeteria was a mainstay here for oh so many years. And actually it was bought up by Luby's in the mid 90s. And
in the great cafeteria acquisitions of the day.
Well, you'd be surprised, man. Like
big cafeteria was having a heyday.
Just gobbling up the mom and pop cafeterias.
There were three mainstays here in the DFW area: Wyatt's, Luby's, and Furs. And
there also was, we were reminded, the Highland Park cafeteria. It was a one-off,
but that
it
was singular.
Yeah, that was singular. That was a hot spot.
Yeah, that's where all the rich Highland Parkers went. But all of us poor people, we went to Luby's and Furs and Wyatt's, and it was so huge at the time that I went and looked at it, and this has been sitting on my Snake Pit stack for a while, so it got mentioned. I'm like, well, let's just do it now. In 1985, the New York Times wrote a massive, massive article entitled, Why They're Lining Up at Luby's. Now, for context, Luby's now barely exists. There are, you know, there were 25, 30 Luby's in DFW in their heyday, not to mention 15 more Wyatt's and 10 Furs and all of it. I mean, we had cafeterias on every street corner. They were akin to any McDonald's or Burger King back in the day. They were everywhere. And now there are two left in Dallas.
There's one on Midway?
Yep, there's one on Midway and there's one in South Dallas. Not exactly sure where, but somewhere in South Dallas. And that's it. And again, they bought up all the Wyatt's, so Wyatt's doesn't exist anymore. Furs went bankrupt too. They're gone. So this cafeteria boom that was going on back in the 80s just doesn't exist anymore. And there's a million reasons why. A lot of people in the industry say COVID killed it. But, dude, I completely disagree with that. COVID may have been the final nail in the coffin for the cafeteria, but the cafeteria has been dying for years, in my estimation, humble, because the generation that supported the cafeteria more than any other, especially in the South, this was really, really, really popular in the South, they're gone. And our parents' generation, my parents' generation, so parents that were in their 70s, 80s, 90s, they're nearing being gone too, if they're not already. And then that leaves us. And, you know, young kids, we're not going to go to cafeterias really ever. And for us, cafeterias, I went so often because I had one set of grandparents that lived in McKinney. I had another that lived in small town Oklahoma. And anytime my grandparents came to town, 100%, we are going to Luby's, we are going to Wyatt's, we are going to Furs. There was no discussion whatsoever. My grandparents could not eat spicy foods at all, and we would end up there because they were used to the home cooking style food. My parents didn't want to argue with them, and that's where we went. I don't know about y'all if that was the same case.
Well, is a cafeteria is the main difference between a cafeteria and a restaurant. Basically that you're going through a serving line and you kind of pick out what you want versus them taking your order from a table. Is that the definition of a cafeteria?
Yeah, what did you have up north?
We had a few versions of this. I remember one place was called, I think, the Heritage House. And did you guys have those down here?
No.
Okay. And honestly,
Did you have a Morrison's or Piccadilly?
No, no.
Okay, I think those were all in the South.
I think Virginia had the Ryan's Empire over there somehow.
Yeah.
But yeah, the buffet with the splash guard, is that what we're talking about?
Sneeze guard.
The sneeze guard, yeah, sorry.
No. Yeah, for sure. And again, like, and Dave, you can attest to this, they were everywhere. You could not throw a rock and get away from a Luby's or a Wyatt's or a Furs. And did you go a lot with your grandparents, Dave?
No, because we... Dining out, even if it was a cafeteria, was a very rare occasion in my household. So,
That's the other thing, is it was about $4.99 to eat at one of those places, which was pretty much on par with fast food back in the day. You know, you could get fast food for $2.50 or something like that. But if you wanted to up your game by a couple of bucks, that's what it would cost to run through a Luby's. And so back in 1985, when this article was written in the New York Times, every single Luby's averaged about $2.5 million profit a year. That's in 1985. And it was the place to work if you could get to a manager position. So imagine in 1985, you're running a Luby's. The minimum salary back then, because there was no salary, I guess. They just took a percentage of what each store made. And no store, not one store had ever been closed for lack of business when this article was published. And this is something that had been going on since the 50s. These managers in the mid-80s were making anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000 a year. In the 80s. God. This was a huge deal to be a manager of a Luby's.
But I thought you said,
like, you go out to the club. What do you do? Oh, I manage a Luby's. Oh, my God.
Man.
Yeah.
So
take me home.
But you said it's like $5 to go through the line?
$5, maybe $4.50.
And they could still make so much profit that they were making $2.5 a year?
Yeah, so Luby's after
tax.
What am
I missing?
Dude, after tax, Luby's throughout the fiscal year of 1985 made $142 million after tax. Sales in 1986 were expected to exceed $200 million. So it was going to go up by, you know, whatever that is, 25% or 30%. It was the biggest cash cow because you had multiple generations at the time going there. And as we have slowly but surely, you know, gone into this era, my take is that we as kids did not like it, and we probably thought in our heads this was something that we were forced to go to after church or something like that with old people. This is what old people ate. And eventually, just like a lot of things that we didn't adopt from our parents or our grandparents, this is something that took it in the shorts.
Well, I do have one, I guess, rebuttal to that.
Okay. Yep.
And I don't know if this is a place that any of you guys went. And it's a gray area because I think it's more of a buffet than a cafeteria. But for a while in like the 2010s, the chain Sweet Tomatoes was popping up everywhere. And
yeah, I remember that.
And it was really successful with families because the kids meal, like kids could eat for like $2 or $3 or whatever. And it was an all-you-can-eat. It was a serve yourself instead of going through the cafeteria line. But what killed that is the pandemic.
Well, and that's what, again, that's what a lot of people pointed to, killing the cafeteria eventually. But they were dying on the vine before the pandemic hit. You know, the Luby's especially. But, I mean, like for me, I would go through as an 8-year-old boy or 10-year-old boy, and I would get the same thing every time. I would get the big piece of fish, the big piece of fried fish that looked like a giant square. And then I would get macaroni and cheese.
An ice cream and I would scoop get mashed macaroni potatoes. And cheese.
Yeah. And mashed potatoes. And that was it. Every single time that I ever went to Luby's, it was the same thing. My dad and my grandpa, both sets. Same thing every time they went through.
Fried chicken.
Liver and onions.
Liver and onions?
Liver and onions.
And, dude, so that was the number one seller at Luby's, or the number one. I don't know if it was this. They didn't. It wasn't based on sales because it cost the same to get everything. But yeah, that liver and onions was the biggest object of desire for any of the patrons at Luby's over a 10-year period.
Well, and that's
liver
like,
and onions.
That's like my Depression era grandfather. He loved liver, and he loved at Thanksgiving. He wanted all the dark meat because that's all he ate when he was young, because that's all they could afford.
Wow.
I don't even know what liver is.
I think it's a liver.
I feel like I was forced against my will to try it at a very young age, and that made me reject the premise for the rest of my life.
The only thing worse than liver is liverwurst, when they take the liver and make it into a sausage.
It is well named, isn't it? Liverwurst is perfectly named.
Oh, it's so mealy and gross.
It's terrible. But then Luby's created what a lot of our moms would eat, and stereotypically and almost was the Luann platter. And the Luann platter was supposedly like a half portion. You could get like a half portion of whatever meat you wanted with two vegetables. And our moms, that's what, I'm going light today. I'm getting the Luann platter. Like, it was a huge, huge deal. Dude, this went on.
They didn't worry about their figure.
Yeah.
Yeah. This went on until
a half portion of comfort food.
Exactly. This went on in my family, honestly, until my grandparents passed away. Where every single time, and my parents were never, they were not the ones that were taking us there, or, you know, or the ones that were adamant about going. They would go because my grandparents wanted to go, and they were certainly not going to go eat Mexican food, or pizza was probably too spicy for them as well.
Yes.
Again, this is a really big Southern thing, and then for the Northerners who moved down here who couldn't handle spice, it was very popular. The South loved cafeterias for X amount of time, but now, dude, it's a gonzo industry.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I never thought we would do a snake pit on the cafeteria, but it was well worth our time.
Here we are.